I decided to run out to the kitchen so I wouldn't disturb you by all my coughing. I ran back there for a minute, but I could still hear your song. What a beautiful song. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. I hope that's true in your life. And you go through a lot of things, and it'll either make you or break you. It'll either strengthen your faith, or it'll make you question God. I hope that you are one that is strengthened by it. Jonah chapter 1 in the Word of God, please. Jonah chapter 1. I apologize for the sound of my voice. I know it's all crackly and yucky sounding. And I'm actually doing a lot better than I was earlier this week. I'm getting ahead of it. I don't feel as bad as it sounds, but get that tickle in there, man. That tickle in my throat makes me cough. So hopefully I'll get through this today. Jonah chapter 1. Man, it's good to see everybody here today. Once again, we'll have Dr. David Gibbs rescheduled. I look forward to y'all hearing him. He'll be a treat. But I guess it's God's plan that I preach today, so we're going to do what we can do here. Jonah chapter 1. If you're there, say amen. That's in that clean part of your Bible. It takes you a little longer to find it sometimes. Give you a little bit more of a chance to get there. Jonah chapter 1. If you're there, say amen. Amen. All right, here we go then. Chapter 1. Look at verse 1. Very familiar story. Lots of preaching has come out of the great book of Jonah. And the Lord gave me something just a few weeks back that I made some notes of, and it caught my attention, something I'd never really caught before in it. And the Lord gave me a little message out of it that I want to bring to you today. Verse 1 says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried, every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ships, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore, they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Let's pray. Dear Father, this story has been preserved for all these centuries, held in your word and preserved in your word for us to study and to learn from it. And there's so many practical lessons that have sprung forward from this story. No telling how many sermons have been preached and lessons have been taught that have given us life principles, cautionary tales, warnings. Lord, we see the obvious things that stand out in it, but Lord, there's all these subtle things in it as well. Lord, I pray that you'll give me the ability to bring out one of those subtle teachings that's there and to enlighten our people with it. A very practical thought that could help them in their day-to-day lives and how they live their life. And the joy and the peace that they can have in their life if they'll heed this solemn warning that we see in this book. Lord, use me as your instrument. Today I'm a broken instrument. My voice is not good. I've been dealing with some kind of cold this week, but Lord, I do pray that you'll anoint me this hour and heal my voice and let it be useful for your purpose today. And I'm so grateful that there's people here today in your house sitting here before me to hear your word. What a blessing. Let me give them something today for their effort. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We all know the story of Jonah, the preacher that rebelled in God's will and sought to run away from the presence of God. Now, he did this in order to not do something, a ministry that he was very definitely called to do, but it was a ministry that was against his wishes. He got on a ship. We see this in the text, that he got on a ship, and he, instead of going where God instructed him to go, he bought a ticket to go somewhere that was in the complete opposite direction. God had sent him to this place, but he wanted to go to this place, completely opposite of God's will in his life. We see that while he was on his journey, God sent a great tempest. It was not accidental. It was not something that was just coincidental. It was in the plan and the hand of God that storm came upon him. It wasn't just one of those instances where the rain falls on the just and the unjust. It wasn't one of those cases where God had already planned a storm and they were just happening to be sailing through it. God purposefully sent a tempest to shake this rebellious prophet up. And this was God's early and first warning to wake Jonah up, to redirect him. It was God's early attempt, his shot over the bow, his soft pitch over the plate. But we see that Jonah slept through the early stages of God's chastening hand. I brought a message on this entitled, "Are You Sleeping Through the Storm?" In that, we see a solemn warning that before God brings judgment into his children's lives, he always sends some storms to try to shake you up and redirect you. Before there's judgment, there's always warning. Warning always precedes discipline with our Heavenly Father. How many of you understand that? Say amen. We see that in play here. God is trying to just get Jonah's attention. He's trying to shake him up. He sends the storm, and we see Jonah as he just slept through the storm. I'm not going to preach on this again, but let me just ask you today, are you in some storms that are the pre-judgment hands of God who's trying to redirect you away from being out of his will? If so, let me encourage you, don't sleep through the storm. Wake up. Get in the path that God has for you. That storm can discombobulate you and shake you up and frighten you. And you think you're in the middle of that storm, it couldn't get any worse. My friend, Jonah shows us it can get much worse. That's just the starting point of what God is trying to do to gently redirect you. So don't sleep through it, because on the other side of that storm, or in the middle of that storm, if you don't redirect, there can be things that God has prepared that are much worse. You say, preacher, do you believe all that in this world of grace and mercy? No, I believe God's grace and mercy precedes his judgment. But God does have a line that if you cross over it, then you fall into the chastening hand of God. Now, that's a part of it that's not taught a lot today. It's a part of the reality of the Bible that's not as popular. But God still expects his children to do right. Anybody out there? God still expects his children to obey him. And you will get storms in your life if you're running from God and rebelling against God's will and his plan for your life. Don't sleep through it. We see Jonah as he slept through this early warning plan that God had. We see that while God was shaking the ocean up, there were other mariners in the boat with Jonah, men that were not rebelling against God, men that were just simply sharing a journey with Jonah. How many of you understand that from the reading of the scripture? We do not see where they're in cahoots with Jonah. We do not see where they were men that had been given a vision by God to do a specific work. They were just men on their way to Tarshish, and they're sharing a boat and a journey with a man who is clearly defying God. And they're in that boat with him. They're innocent men, but men in the boat with a man who God is trying to wake up. Now, these men, due to Jonah and his rebellion towards God, are now in peril. They're in great fear. They're in great distress. They start out not being believers in God. They end up having something happen in their life. Sometimes we have to understand that even in our bad example, God can still use us. Not in the way you'd like to be used. But even whenever you're in a place that you're not doing what God wants, God can still use your bad example to bring others into a fear of him. We see here that these men were in fear. They were in distress. And with this in mind, God showed me a great lesson. This story revealed and yielded up yet another principle, one that I had not seen before or ever even noticed. A warning from God that is very practical, yet one that is violated often and often to the demise of the violator. I want to share with you this solemn warning from the story of Jonah, something God revealed to me, something I'd never caught before, but something as I began to think about it and ponder it, I saw clearly its violations in the world all around me. Are you ready for this? You ready for this solemn warning? I don't know. You might not want to hear it. This might be a little convicting. This might be a rough storm we're going to go through. You might better put on your life jacket and your seatbelt. You guys ready for this? Here's the lesson God revealed to me. You better be careful who you let on your boat. You better be careful who you let on your boat. We must be careful who we allow in the boat of our life, who we saddle up with, who we partner with as we travel life's journey. When we league up with people that are rebelling against God and living in the opposite of God's will, it will bring storms and tempests into our lives as well. I want you to hear some scriptures that come from the Word of God. Amos 3:3 asks this question, can two walk together except they be agreed? We know the answer to that is obviously no. If they're not together, they will not have fellowship in their travel. They will have controversy. They cannot walk together except they be agreed. We see in Proverbs 1, verse 10 through 18, where the Word of God says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If thou say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privately for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave. Let us find our iPad. It suddenly clicked out on me. Here we go. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privately for their own lives. In Numbers 16:19, we see this story recorded. It says, and Korah gathered all the congregation against them under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins. So they got up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram on every side. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives and their sons and their little children. And Moses said, hereby ye shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as he made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertaineth unto Korah, and all their goods. They and all that appertaineth to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. Pretty horrible story of people who let a bad person on their boat. Proverbs 2, verse 8 says this, he keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness, to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, and they froward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger, which flattereth with her words, which forsake the God of her youth, and forgetteth the covenant of her God, for her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. Now notice this, for the upright shall dwell in the land and the perfect shall remain in it. We see here the Lord warning about the companions and people we fellowship with and allow in our boat. And 2 Corinthians 6:14, the Bible warns, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. 1 Corinthians 5:9-13 says, I wrote unto you in an epistle, not the company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters. For then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one, no, not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within, but them that are without God judgeth. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. In the Word, we see some clear warnings in Scriptures that teaches us that we can let the wrong people on our boat, and then be thrown into great peril and storms, great fear, great worry, great distress. And we should use great caution and wisdom as we allow people on the boats of our life. And I'm going to give you two boats that we've got to be careful of. Two boats in your life that you need to be careful who you allow aboard. Are y'all still with me? Yes. Two boats. Number one, your boat of influence. Your boat of influence. Say that with me. What is your boat of influence? Those are the leaders that you choose for yourself. Those are the preachers you choose to listen to. Those are the counselors that you lend your ear to. Those are the people who advise you, and they shape your way of thinking. They lead your direction. They help you make the decisions, and they help you fulfill the desires of your life. Beloved, you've got to be careful who you allow on the boat of influence in your life. Beloved, listen to me. Not everybody who says they're a preacher is a good influence. Not every preacher on the radio is teaching truth. Not every person who stands in front of a TV camera and preaches is preaching sound doctrine. You must be careful who you allow on your boat of influence. Not everybody who calls themselves a friend is a positive influence. There are people who have allowed influences in their life through the form of friendships, who have led them away from the will of God into the storms that come from the hand of God. We see this echoed through the entire Word of God. In Judges 13, we see Samson as he allowed Delilah on his boat. In 1 Kings 11:1, by the way, when he allowed, let me go back to Delilah for a minute. Delilah was against everything that Samson was ever taught concerning the will of God for his life. But it went down to one factor. He wanted her. She was pretty. But she wasn't a Hebrew. She did not worship Jehovah. She was never leading him in a right direction. They had a relationship built on lie after lie after lie, trying to make it work. The story ends with Jonah blind. I'm sorry, Samson. Just seeing if you're listening. You passed, A plus. The story ends with Samson's eyes poked out. His head shaved, representing the complete loss of the power of God on his life. Powerless, hooked up to a pole that was usually where a donkey would be. And all he's doing is going in a circle, pushing this mill, grinding. Kids are spitting on him, laughing at him, mocking him. This is the great hero, and Delilah has turned him into a donkey. Samson, you should have been careful who you let on the boat. In 2 Samuel 13, we see Amnon, the son of David, prince royal blood. But we see that he gets a wicked idea in his mind, and he allows as an influencer this man named Jonadab. Bible says that Amnon desired a wicked thing, but it says that Amnon had a friend named Jonadab. Jonadab coached him in how to commit this horrible crime, this horrible sin, which ended up costing Amnon his very life. But he allowed Jonadab on his boat of influence. And of course, we read the story in Numbers 16. We see God tell the Hebrews to get off the boat of Korah. Get away from his leadership. Get away from him. Get away from him as I'm trying to lead you to a promised land and he's trying to lead you back to bondage in Egypt. And he says, hey, get away from him. Separate yourself because I'm fixing to do something that's never been done before. So people separated, but around 250 people stood with Korah. The Bible says that the earth opened up and a fiery abyss received them. There were people who allowed Korah on their boat. I'm saying you better be careful who you let on your boat. They may bring some storms and stress and ultimate judgment into your life. Those men on the boat with Jonah weren't running from God. They weren't rebelling against God. They weren't living in any kind of sin, but they had let a man who was under the judgment hand of God on the boat with them. Now there they found themselves in the same storms. They found themselves facing the same peril. They found themselves looking at possibly going to the bottom of the ocean with him. That boat of influence is a big old boat, man. You better be careful who you're seeking counsel from. Who's giving you advice and who's explaining the Bible to you and who's leading your decisions and your directions? They may be leading you into a big old storm. And you better be careful on the second boat. The second boat is your boat of relationships. What are those? That's your friendships. That's your circle of trust. That can be people that are pulling you away from God's will, pulling you away from God's plan, pulling you away from the peace that is only found in obeying and living for God. Sometimes, unfortunately, it can be a family member that's pulling you away. And you're in a relationship with somebody who's rebelling against God, and you're wondering why you're stuck in these storms where your peace is gone. Sometimes it's that person you met online who doesn't have any use for God. But like Delilah, you like him. You like him. He's handsome. He's got money. Got a big house. But he's not a worshiper of Jesus. Not going the direction that God has called you to go. Now, either you'll drag him along in storms, or you'll go the direction he's going, the complete opposite. These people were headed to Tarshish. Joppa was in the middle place, and Nineveh was the complete opposite direction. And when they were going this way, there was big storms. And they were in it with Jonah. They were in that boat being cast around. You better watch the boat of your relationships. I'm going to say something, and I hope you'll hear me. All you single people in the room, dating is not meant to be a mission field. It's not meant to be a mission field. In other words, we're not supposed to go to the world and marry lost people hoping to convert them. You're going to end up in a lot of storms. You're going to get shook up quite a bit trying to do it that way. Now, it all is going to go down to this, faith. Faith. It's people making decisions in desperation that end up being unequally yoked. It's that feeling that if you don't do this yourself, God doesn't have the ability to bring you the joys and the pleasures of your heart. Beloved, there's one word you got to remember when you're lonely and single. I get it. I didn't get married until I was 27. And I remember those years as an adult watching my friends one after the other getting married. Some of them two or three times. And I remember I wasn't just a member of the Lonely Hearts Club at our church. I was its president, a position I held for quite a while. Literally, I was the last in my age group to get married. My brothers are younger than me. They both got married before me. My sister was married before me. I have a sister that's 11 years younger than me, and she started betting me that she was going to get married before I did. And I remember those lonely times, wondering if there was anybody out there for me. People would constantly tell me, maybe you're supposed to be like the Apostle Paul and just give yourself to the ministry. I said, man, I haven't heard that calling. God has not relayed that message to me at all. And I remember the temptations to sometimes settle, sometimes try to make the best, try to take a square peg and on my own carve it to make it fit in a round hole. And along the way, God, or the devil, brought me Delilahs. People that weren't going the same direction and didn't want me to go that direction. I came very close to almost marrying a girl who was begging me not to be a preacher and was trying to get me to go a different direction into counseling and other things, and not only her, her parents. And the Lord handled that situation for me. And then the Lord allowed me to meet someone going the same direction. Somebody that was every desire, every dream I'd ever had. If I could have taken out of my mind what I wanted in a wife and just put her into the flesh, it would be Christy. And I'm not saying that to get, and I'm not in any trouble at this point. I'm not trying to dig out. But I can tell you, I waited, and I had to say no to Delilah's. And some of them weren't horrible people. They just weren't going the direction God had for me. They would have been a weight that I would have had to have drug. I'm so glad God's given me a wife that loves serving the Lord. And a wife that when I call her from a motel room in San Antonio and I say, God's moving us to Texas, her only response is, okay, I'll go get the boxes. What a blessing. So much more peace in my life than it was when I dated the other girl who every other week we had to have an argument because she didn't think I should be a preacher. And she didn't think I would ever make money to make her happy. And she didn't think we could ever live on the level that she enjoyed living on. And her mom and dad would tell her, you marry that guy, you'll be poor your whole life. And it was an argument every week about God's will for my life. Oh, listen to me. You can dismiss this all you want, but I'm telling you, you better be careful who you allow aboard the boat of relationships in your life. A good friend is one that makes you better. A good life mate is one that completes you, makes you better. Not one that's trying to cut you in half all the time. And we see regularly people violate this. And Jonahs get on their boat. And then storms come, and hardships, and judgments. And their life gets rocked to and fro. And it's perplexing. Now I want you to notice something as I wrap this up. Jonah 1, look at verse 12. It says, and he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake, this great tempest is upon you. By the way, beloved, listen to me. All you Christians in the room, if you're a Christian in the room, raise your hand. You better listen to me. And I'm not trying to be too intense today, but this is just intense. You get out of God's will, you will bring storms into the people that share life with you. Hung, you get out of God's will, that beautiful little bundle is going to have storms in his life. Not that he's done anything, but you're going to bring them on him. We have a responsibility to understand that God has placed in our boat people that share our life. And our inability to live our life wisely can cause their life to be greatly shaken up. I'm going to wait for a couple of amens on that. There we go. It's just a truth. It's just a truth. And I've seen it over and over. And we see here that Jonah realizes, it's my reason. These other people are all messed up. What a horrible thing to have to bear. And he says there in verse 13, nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea roared and was tempestuous against them. Sometimes we see from this scripture that we can get sideways and not doing right. It causes storms to come into the lives of people that we love. But here's the catch from verse 13. Sometimes we allow these people to stay on our boat, even though we know they're the ones causing all the storms and all the trouble in my life. They're the reason we can't have peace. We allow these people sometimes to stay on the boat because we hope to save them. Did you see that there in the scripture? He tells them straight out, I'm the reason we're all fixing to go to the bottom of the ocean here. Every one of us are going to die in the middle of this ocean. It's me. It's me. And those men that shared the boat with him tried to save his life. They started rowing even harder. Sometimes we allow these people that are wrecking our life. Why do we do this? Why do we let people on our boat sometimes, the Jonas? Sometimes we're just hoping to save them. And it's our grace and our desire to care for them that allows them to keep us in the storms of distress that they are bringing. And that happens. But I want you to also note verse 14. Wherefore they cried to the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee. Let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. We see in Jonah 1, 14 through 15, sometimes the only answer is that you have to sometimes throw these people overboard from the ship of your life in order to have peace in your life. The truth is, these people, until they can get right with God, are going to cause storms for you as they displease the Lord. But did you notice, once Jonah was off the boat, peace came to the boat. Did you catch that? They had a heart to help him, but when they realized that it's just going to bring disaster, they were left with no choice. Now stay with me here. You say, preacher, that's such a hard, you're preaching such a hard thing. First of all, I'm just bringing out what's in scripture. This is not my opinion. This is just what we see in the word. Sometimes that is the only answer. But I want you to see verse 16 through 17. It says, then the men feared the Lord and the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. When you end up having to throw people in your life overboard for your own peace and safety and for your own preservation, the truth of it is, I'm talking to people in here that your grace and your mercy has put you in the boat with a Jonah at some point in your life. That person you're trying to save. That person that is wrecking your home, wrecking your marriage, wrecking the peace in your life. You can't go 10 minutes without being distressed over the worries of that person in your boat that's bringing all this storm upon you. It's admirable that you've tried to help them. I admire these men for the grace they displayed there. But ultimately, they had to do what each of us will ultimately have to do in order to have peace in our life. Here's the catch. When you throw them overboard, you are placing them in the hand of God. And God has prepared a method to chasten them in order to bring them where they need to be without you going to the bottom of the sea with them. God's intention was never to destroy Jonah. It was to redirect Jonah. God prepared a fish to swallow him. He spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of that fish. By the time it was done, he couldn't wait to get to Nineveh. No. Beloved, sometimes there's people that get on our boat and they're at odds with God. Our desire to help them, we wrap our arms around them, but they bring storms into our life. Sometimes you have to give them to God. And let the Lord do a work that you're not going to be able to. Those men could have rowed as hard as they could. They'd have never got to shore because they were rowing against God. We have to sometimes take people that get on our boat and say, man, I've done all I can do. I got to give this to God. Do you have people that are on your boat that are bringing storms into your life? Beloved, listen to me, all of you. Be careful who you let on your boat. Let's pray. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand. When I do, the altars will be open. And sometimes this can come through only the strength that God can provide. The truth is, there's people who need to cut some friendships because they're bringing storms into your life. And there are people who need to ask some people to get out of their boat because they're pulling you away from God's will into a storm. Now, that's a personal matter. But the truth is, I've seen this violated over and over and over in life. And I've seen the trials and problems that can come from it. Watch your boat. Watch your boat. Watch out for them Jonas that want to get on your boat. Let me ask you this. You say, Pastor Riggs, if I died today, I know for sure that I'm saved. I'm not ashamed of it. Would you raise your hand? Amen. Amen. You may lower your hand. So many people raised their hand. What a blessing. Is there anyone that could say, Preacher, I could not raise my hand, but I'd like to get saved today. Would you help me? Would you just slip your hand up today? Just slip your hand up. I see those hands, and I want to help you. You can lower your hand. Dear Father, you saw the two hands that were raised, and you know those two people. And you love them and you died for them and you want to save them. And God, I pray that when I ask everybody to stand in a moment, that they'll have the courage to simply walk forward and meet me up here at the front, where I can have a person take them to a private room and show them how to be saved. It will only take a few moments if they'll yield that up. We can help them. The greatest need in their life is to know Jesus as their Savior. I pray that they'll take this moment, not let it be squandered. We ask this in Jesus' name.